In John 5:39, Jesus states, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me." The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about The Messiah at issuesetc.org. The Messiah, Revealing Jesus in the Old Testament, The Issues Etc. book of the month. The Easter hymn, "Long Before the World is Waking," "Morning Mist on Galilee, from the shore as dawn is breaking, Jesus calls across the sea, hails the boat of weary men, bids them cast their net again." There in John 21, Jesus is doing something that he had done before for these disciples in the same place, but 3 years earlier. Why does Jesus appear there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee to his disciples as they fish after his resurrection? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll talk about Jesus in John 21 appearing in Galilee. Pastor Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why did the disciples return to Galilee?
They returned to Galilee because Jesus had said that, even to the women, after the resurrection, that he would be meeting them in Galilee. And so, therefore, this was by the Sea of Tiberias, where he revealed himself again when they were Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. So they decided to go fishing. Peter said that, and so some of them went with him. And they went out, got into a boat, but they didn't catch anything all night.
Why does Peter decide to go fishing again? What does that tell you about his thinking at this point?
His thinking is that Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's no reason to stop living life as he thought he might have. Remember, Judas committed suicide, but not Peter. Peter decides that, well, I need to continue to support myself and the disciples. I'm hungry. So fishing was what they did prior to their being called by Jesus. And so that wasn't at all unusual that he would go out fishing, because that was his previous occupation.
After a failed night of fishing, how does Jesus appear to his disciples?
What's interesting here is he appears to them by standing on the shore. But the Bible says, chapter 21, verse 4, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So he calls out to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So that's what they did. And all of a sudden, there were so many fish, they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, now that's the way John often describes himself. He is the writer of this gospel. And Jesus, of course, told him he loved him. So that's the one who says to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so that's how Peter recognizes that it is the Lord, because John tells him. John makes a remark, with all that fish being caught, that it must be the Lord.
What does Peter do when he hears that it's Jesus?
This is, I think, the most important item in the entire narrative. What he does, he puts on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea, and he swam toward Jesus. Now, why is that so critical? This is the second time, if you will recall, that Jesus had the disciples find fish when he told them to lower their nets. After a whole night, they had caught nothing. That had occurred the day that Jesus chose some of them as his disciples. And when that occurred, the fish were almost swamping the boat this first time. Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." This time, he doesn't depart from Jesus. I refer to this as a huge difference between law and gospel. When you're living under the law and you think that you are right with God by your works and you realize that you're a sinful person, when you realize that Jesus is a great man, a great prophet or whatever, then why would he remain with you? He needs to depart. You need to depart from him. But after the resurrection, remember, this is the third time that the disciples had met with Jesus after the resurrection. The one was the night of the resurrection, then when Thomas was with them, and now by the Sea of Tiberias. This time, having believed that not only had Jesus risen from the dead, but he was God, as Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," Peter knew that his sins had been forgiven, and he wanted to be with the Lord. And so, unlike the previous miracle where he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man," he jumped into the water, realizing that the words Jesus had told them on the night he saw them, "Your sins are forgiven. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whoever sins you retain, they're retained," and knew his sins were remitted, and therefore jumped into the water to be with Jesus.
So what do the disciples find when they come ashore?
When they come ashore, because they came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, they were about 100 yards off, it says, they saw already a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And then Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So they hauled the net ashore full of large fish, and for some reason they counted them, and there were 153 of them. In fact, Enduring Faith, which is the Concordia Publishing House lesson material, encourages the teacher to get little cookies or little crackers that are shaped into fish, put them all out, and help the children to see how many fish there were, and then also have a little treat by eating them. And so this is kind of what Jesus was doing when he had them bring a net ashore full of large fish, it says, 153 of them. But even though there were so many, the net was not torn. But Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And of course, the disciples, none of them, it says, asked who it was. "Who are you?" Like many other times they had asked that. Remember when the boat was swamped with water and Jesus stilled the storm? They said, "Who is this man?" They hadn't figured it out. But this time, this was after the resurrection. They were living under the gospel, and they therefore knew it was the Lord. So Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and so also was the fish. And it indicates it was the third time that Jesus had visited with the disciples after his resurrection.
Were there more times than that?
There were many more times, because he remained on earth for 40 days, and it wasn't until he ascended into heaven. And so the Bible says about 500 people saw him after his resurrection from the dead. And so that's very important to understand, that it wasn't just these disciples who were out fishing, but it was also many of his believing friends who also met with Jesus. And that's found in another book of the Bible, of course. But for sure, he met with them until he ascended into heaven.
Why does Jesus ask Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?"
He was asking him that question because he wanted to know whether or not Simon loved him more than these other disciples or whatever. And it's very interesting when you take a look at the original language here. Jesus asks him three times. The first two times he asks, "Do you love me?" using the word agape. That's the word used, of course, in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." It is a love that is really a love of unselfishness towards Peter. But Peter doesn't respond with, "Yes, I love you." He responds with a different word, phileo, which is a word for love, but it's more the love between two brothers. So let's say somebody knocks on my door and their clothes are torn and they're somewhat inebriated and they want some money. And normally I would probably really wonder about that, but if it was my brother, I would ask him in and see if I could help him. So Jesus says, "Do you agape me?" Peter says, "Yes, I phileo you." Then Jesus asks him a second time, "Do you agape me?" He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." And then finally, the third time, Jesus says, "Do you phileo me?" using the word for brotherly love. "Do you love me?" And Peter responds, "You know that I love you," using phileo. So there are some scholars who don't think there's that big a difference. It's just two different words for love. But others would suggest that Jesus is talking about a grand love, and Peter knows he doesn't have that agape love because he had denied Jesus three times. And so I think that's the reason why Peter's response uses a different word for love than what Jesus is asking. But at any rate, Jesus is asking, finally, if he even just phileos him and tells him to feed my sheep. So he repeats the question three times, and that's to remind Peter of the three times, I believe, that Peter had denied him.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus appearing to his disciples in Galilee after his resurrection in John 21. What does that phrase, "feed my lambs," mean?
Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue cruising through 2 Corinthians with Paul's sufferings, Paul's thorn, signs of a true apostle, in the sight of God, and examine yourselves. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Pastor Tom Baker is leading us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus appearing in Galilee in John chapter 21. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Congratulations to LCMS Army Guard Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Derek Walter for his selection as Chaplain of the Year for the Air National Guard. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports all Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplains who serve on active duty in the reserves, the National Guard, Civil Air Patrol, and Coast Guard Auxiliary. Find out about their service at lcms.org/armedforces, lcms.org/armedforces. Tom, you mentioned this charge that Jesus gives to Peter, feed my lambs. What does that mean?
Feed my lambs. Now, remember, at this point, there isn't much discussion about the disciples going out and witnessing about Christ. To feed the lambs, Jesus is known as the supreme shepherd, and we are his sheep, his lambs. He now sets the apostles over his sheep and lambs and asks them to feed them, which means share with them the good news of the Word of God. So that's what happens with Sunday school teachers. They're feeding the lambs of God. And the way they are fed isn't just with those fish crackers, that's just to make a point. It's instead the Word of God. Parents feed their children by bringing them to baptism and then teaching them Luther's Small Catechism while they're growing up in the household, reading them Bible stories. And then when they're confirmed, they can receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper, as by then they begin to really understand what the Lord's Supper is all about. And so this is a wonderful lesson to teach Easter, because it is what happened after Easter that we too should jump in the water, so to speak, to get to Jesus, which means we should also be coming to Sunday school, to Bible class, to church services, reading the Bible at home, listening to our parents. Solomon in the book of Proverbs says that a number of times. Hear what I, your father and your mother, say to you. And the word for instruction there is actually the Hebrew word for discipline, which kind of reminds you of how you become a disciple. Because in discipline, you are being reprimanded for not following the will of God and how to follow the will of God in order to have a wonderful life. And that occurs by feeding the lambs, giving them word and sacrament.
How does Jesus predict Peter's death?
Well, he talks to him that when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry where you do not want to go. And he said this to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Peter was going to be a martyr. Now, what I find interesting is that it's not part of the Sunday school lesson, but Peter saw John because he was following them, and he said, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, it is my will that he remain until I come. What is that to you? You follow me. So it was spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. He said, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? In other words, he will not die a martyr's death. John is known as the disciple who died on the island of Patmos in exile because of his proclamation of Jesus Christ. And it was on that island that he wrote not only the Gospel of John, not only the book of Revelation, but also his letters that appear in the Bible. And he even admits in verse 24, I am the disciple who is bearing witness about this thing, and we know that the testimony of Jesus is true. And in the end of the book of John, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So the Gospels are just a brief summary of some of the works that Jesus did, his miracles, his teaching. And it was obvious he was doing more because it says he met with Mary and Martha, but it doesn't say what he taught them when he met with them. But later they knew that there was a resurrection of the dead, and they thought that's what he was talking about when he spoke about the Lazarus. And he wasn't. He was not talking about the judgment day resurrection of the dead for Lazarus. He was talking about that he would be raised from the dead then. And so the Sunday school children are really urged to follow Jesus. And the way we follow Jesus is the same way that Peter did. We don't get away from him because we are sinners. We repent of our sins, turn to him, receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, knowing full well that like Peter and the rest of the apostles, regardless of how our flesh dies, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus forever and ever. And so it's a great Easter lesson about how, in contrast to the first miracle, where Peter says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. We have the second wonderful miracle, very similar, where Peter jumps into the water to get to Jesus as quickly as possible. And then he is also declared to be a leader and apostle of the disciples in teaching the word and feeding the lambs of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So, Jesus ends by saying, follow me. What was Jesus telling Peter to do?
He was telling him not to follow what he wants to do, what his old Adam wants to do. We have two motivations in everything we do. We do it for ourselves, or we do it for Jesus. So a lot of times our good works never save us, because you can't even do a good work in Jesus' eyes without the proper motivation, and that it is love for Jesus. The Sunday school children are in Sunday school. They're praying, they're doing the things in Sunday school because of their love for Jesus. That is called a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that the children are baptized to receive not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, but also the gift of the forgiveness of sins. That's what it means to follow Jesus to Sunday school, to church, to catechism, and to read scripture and listen to lessons of parents at home.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this account?
The law is that we are to love Jesus more than anything else. And a lot of times, as Peter showed right after he was declared to be one who would go out to feed the lambs, he became concerned about what's going to happen to John. And so following Jesus means you're not really concerned how Jesus is going to deal with other people. Your concern is to feed them with the word of God. And therefore, even though you set your own ideas ahead of God's, when you deny him and repent of it, God forgives you and assures you of his love for Christ's sake. In other words, there's never a time that Jesus doesn't continue to love you. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the world referred to unbelievers at that time, which we all were. So if he loved us while we were an unbeliever, now that we are a Christian, we are continued to be loved. And he loves all people, and that's why we are to feed all people the word of God and give them the sacraments, because that is the task and mission of the Holy Christian Church.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk about Mormon growth and decline with Pastor John Leach of Speaking the Truth in Love to Mormons Ministry.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Mark Lutheran Church in Waco, Texas is proud to support Issues Etc. Join us for worship and Bible study. If you're in Waco for business, college, traveling through the city, looking for a great place to retire, or searching for a church to receive Jesus' love and forgiveness. Then visit St. Mark, a century-old Christ-centered Lutheran congregation in the heart of Waco, very near the silos. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Visit us at stmarkwaco.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.